Michael Bilotti wears many hats, a mechanical engineer, a husband, a father, and for 6 nights and 2 matinees, he will be a knight. Bilotti has undertaken the role of Cervantes, Don Quixote, and Alonso Quintana in Schenectady Light Opera Company's presentation of Man of La Mancha. This was not a hard sell to me. Rather, I charged up and introduced myself, asking, well, begging Michael to be on the podcast, as Man of La Mancha is my all-time favorite play. A knight, thought to be mad, tilting at windmills? No surprise. Michael was kind enough to join me in the Daily Gazette podcast studio prior to opening night. Please meet a man of many talents and of service, Michael Bilotti. Well, Michael, welcome to the Daily Gazette podcast studio, and so excited. I hijacked you at the Schenectady Light Opera Corporate Company's 100th season preview, and you happen to be nearby at the reception. And I'm like, I have to get the Man of La Mancha. I have to get Don Quixote on the podcast.
Yeah, it was great to meet you there, and I appreciate it. It was a great event.
And so that's why I was so excited. The play has been part of my DNA of excitement and relating to musicals. It's probably one of the few musicals I can relate to.
Oh, really?
And musical, yes, but I go to the 1972 version of Man of La Mancha with the wonderful Peter O'Toole, the gorgeous Sophia Loren, and James Coco. Knowing that's my background on the story, but part of bringing you in was we had a great experience on the Stan and Shen Show podcast with Cameron Clark Stevens and the Mystery of Edwin Drood. And it's so much fun, and talked about Slock and talked about theater. And then to see that, that was just the springboard to seeing Man of La Mancha, which was guaranteed, as my wife's like, we got to go. and then to actually know I could get you and have you be kind enough to come on.
No, absolutely. Happy to be here. I'm so glad for the invite. So I'm enjoying this.
So you play Cervantes?
Yes, I play Cervantes. So the show Man of La Mancha is a play within a play. And Cervantes has foreclosed on a church, basically, and monastery. So he is being pulled in by the Spanish Inquisition, and he is put in a prison with some unsavory characters for a couple of hours. And during that couple of hours, in order to avoid getting hurt or maimed or his stuff stolen, he puts on the show, the Man of La Mancha show, and the story of Don Quixote.
It's a lifetime of this show. You know, the movie came out in 72. It was 60 years ago. So This is a great year for 60. I turned 60 this year. The Super Bowl was 60. This turns 60. SPAC turns. I mean, 60's all over the place. We're here to talk about you, the role, and the play, but you don't walk in off the street and become Don Quixote. So what's your entry into theater and then also, community theater? Because I know you've done things with Schenectady Light Opera Company and also Berkshire Theater, I believe.
Yeah, I've done a number of things in the area. Homemade Theater up in Saratoga. I've done some things with Not So Common in Clifter Park. I did, some stuff with the Theater Barn out in the Berkshires when it was still around, and some other local theaters.
So what's the entry point? As was Michael a young boy who was dying to get a voice out of his head and yell at other people, or were you dragged in by a sibling? Or
no, I have always loved to perform, and I've always enjoyed theater. I grew up in near Stamford, New York, Oneonta, New York, very small high school, loved doing the musicals. Would have loved to have pursued it as a career, but did not think that was the case. So I decided to go to the Naval Academy and major in mechanical engineering. But the itch in the theater was always with me. Did shows at the Naval Academy. It was very good to get some really good roles. When you go to a school with a bunch of engineers and Navy folks, you can stand out with a little bit of talent. But got to do some great shows there. Hello, Dolly, Cabaret, West Side Story. And I always had the theater itch, even while I was after I graduated the Naval Academy, I was a submarine officer. So I spent 5 years on active duty. Still always wanted to do that. And when I got off active duty, I pursued a professional career, lived in New York for about 5 years and did a lot of theater there. So I've been doing theater since high school and I've always enjoyed it.
When you retire from the Navy,
yeah.
Is it LT? How did you know?
Yeah.
Academy.
Yeah, I can walk you through that. Yeah. So served 5 years on a couple of submarines as a submarine officer. Transitioned, what is this? Is back in, late 90s into joined the Navy Reserve, kind of maintained that, and then moved back to this area. My then girlfriend, now wife, was in the area, so I came back here. That's actually when I did my first Schenectady Light Opera show, and I did Meet Me in St. Louis back in 1999, a long time ago. From there, then we made the move to New York City, and I spent about 5 years as a professional actor. A lot of the work that I did that I got to pay the bills was a lot of touring children's theater. So there was a couple of companies, TheaterWorks USA, Arts Power, National Touring Theater, doing shows like Mike Mulligan and his Steam Shovel and From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. So a couple of companies that would adapt books into children musicals. It's a lot of fun. We'd travel around in a van and go into theaters. They would bus the kids in and we'd perform for them. It was fantastic. I wish I could have continued to do it, but living in New York City and when my son was born, it was not a lifestyle that was conducive to long-term financial security, from my opinion, and raising my family. So we decided to make the move and come back up to upstate. So and since then, I've always been involved in the community theater. I think there's just a vibrant theater scene here in the Capital District, and more than enough to scratch the itch and really enjoy that those roles.
And this was like one of the big hooks in my head to convince myself, which took a millisecond. And then my wife was like, "Oh yeah, yeah," because the thing that struck me was when we saw The Mystery of Edwin Drood, and we talked, we saw the directors, and we saw some of the actors, and we saw Cameron Clark. Afterwards, it was like everybody's bugging out. Like their costume change at the end of the bows is like 15 seconds. And Cameron made the comment like, "Oh yeah, everybody's got to get home and either get the kids to school tomorrow or they got to be in. I'm going in late." And it's like everybody has a day job and you're like, "This is insane." And I'm like, "How much you want to bet somebody's a cardiologist during the day and they're playing this ensemble role tonight and they're like, "Oh yeah, I got a surgery at 9. I really got to go." Because you see just like this, you're giving of yourself for 2 to 3 hours. And they got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So you talked about a little bit, we talked beforehand about like, what do you do during the day? And you talked about doing some voice stuff at work. So what's the day gig?
Yeah. So my day job, I work for the Naval Nuclear Laboratory. So that's the company folks in the Capital District may know it as CAPL. So we design nuclear propulsion systems for aircraft carriers and submarines. In my role, I lead the engineering leadership development program there at the Naval Nuclear Laboratory. So I have a team of about 27 early career high potential engineers that work for me. And I lead them through a rotational program to develop their technical skills, to develop their leadership skills for future leadership roles within the laboratory. So I've been there for about 11 years now. Really, really enjoying it.
Do you have like interesting icebreakers? Because
actually my career as an actor is always an interesting icebreaker, especially among engineers. So I think I just try to I think I'm a pretty decent actor for an engineer, and I'm a pretty good engineer for an actor. So I always try to keep one step away from the really talented people. But that's always a common thing. Folks, when I talk about my background at the laboratory, the first thing is like, wait, you're a professional actor? What does that look like? So, yeah, and you had mentioned things about some voiceover work. When I started with the laboratory, I wasn't always in this role. I started in a training organization, and we would develop e-learning and courses and classes, and that got me an opportunity to do voiceover work for the training that we were developing. So I got to scratch a little bit of the actor itch by getting in the studio and chopping up things in Audacity and, you know, bringing some energy to what could be some boring nuclear design learning.
SLOC, Schenectady Light Opera Company, will be celebrating its 100th year upcoming, kicking off in May. Four shows announced, the mystery show. I think they're going to run a pool. I'm thinking a $10 or $20 donation with your guests, and then the winners go in for a pot of hopefully restaurant certificates, which is what I want.
That's a great idea.
We were adamantly convinced, like, we had the mystery show, and our one guess was Hamilton.
Okay. All right.
And it was immediately, don't even put it in because it's too expensive. Right. So don't even ask. Save your money on something else. And then it came up that Hamilton will be available at the high school level in 2028, we think.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that'll be exciting to see if somebody picks that up. So you're going to open March 13th, 14th, and 15th, and then you come back again the 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
That's correct.
15th and 22nd Sundays, I think, with the 3 p.m. show.
Matinee at 3 p.m.
3 p.m. The rest of the shows will be at 8. SLOCTheater.org to get your tickets or online. Get them. They do go quickly. SLOC is not the largest venue. I like to call it a club venue.
Yeah. There's only about 200, 220 seats somewhere. If you talk to Jeff Hocking, he'll give you the exact exact number. But yeah, we do get some nice crowds there, and we have a really strong subscription pool, and it's nice. It's very enjoyable. I mean, that's part of why you do the theaters, to try to entertain others, so it's nice to have a full house.
What's the role of Don Quixote like? I mean, you go from Cervantes to Don Quixote to Cervantes to Don Quixote,
right,
and you're back and forth as two different people, the play within play, which is absolutely wonderful in itself. Is that the one? Have you done this before SLOC, or...
No. So I have never done this role. My exposure to Man of La Mancha was literally the original, you know, CD from the original Broadway cast recording there of the yellow cover. Literally listening to that a lot on drives from upstate New York to Annapolis, Maryland. I listened to it a bunch of times, was familiar with the music, was not really familiar with the show. So I'm finally in an age bracket where I can kind of play the role, and that's when this opportunity came up and SLOC announced it, I'm like, oh my goodness, bucket list role, I have to go for that and see what we can do. But playing the role is it's very fulfilling. So it's a fantastic role to be able to bounce between, and it's actually three roles because it's Cervantes and then Don Quixote, who is kind of played as the elevated version of the elder gentleman, Alonso Quijana, who has gone mad and thinks he's this errant knight errant of La Mancha. So it's a lot of fun, and I kind of see it as a much enhanced personality of Alonso Quijana, but really drawn to the role because it's very inspiring because of his belief in principle, because of his belief in the goodness and the grace and the beauty in everyone, regardless of their circumstances. His belief that he can make the world a better place by willing it to be so in some cases, that's just very enjoyable and very heartwarming to be able to.
And when you look at the musical portion of it, I love the range because you're just, it's a character that's not just belting. Not every piece is what we know.
Right, right.
You know, the impossible dream, which we all know. And, you know, again, as we talked about earlier, just emotional to me, that song is just everything.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not belting the entire time. There's lead-ins, not only for yourself, but also some of the other characters. And, you know, there's so many precious moments. And sometimes it's not even your role. But for Aldonza, you know, I think the very end, you know, are those very subtle, almost whisper leading into, and you know it's coming. This is the beauty of the Jaws entry. You know it's coming and you can't wait for it. And it builds. What is that comfortable for you? Because you're not, like I said, you're not belting for the two plus hours? Or is it more a challenge because you've got to start at a certain range and you've got to have, you've got your range, but you can't go too low or too high?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you're captured kind of like that. There's an arc to the story. There's an arc to each of the song. You mentioned Aldonza, who's played by Liv Armstrong Walker, who is an amazing scene partner, and her emotional arc and transition over the course of the musical is just wonderful. And you know, the dream, the impossible dream, is kind of the culmination leading into the, you know. You know, we call it the love story between the two, where Don Quixote pours his heart out to Aldonza. But yes, the song is not a particularly long song, but the audience will tell me. But I try to give it some levels and kind of start it from a place of humility and earnestness and bring it to its climax at the end of the song,
and then. Again, referring to the 72 movie, the Slock stage is not large. It's not a breadth of stage. It's kind of compact. We got kind of a glimpse of the set at the 100th because it's in place. Yeah. The physical comedy of it, how hard, I mean, is that where time is spent? Because you have not a small ensemble. No. And then some of the physical scenes of the physical comedy and things like that, you know, how much time is spent on that and how difficult is that? And is it just how this ensemble, how's this group work it?
Yeah. I mean, as far as how's it, it has been a wonderful experience. So Amy Serra, the director, has created a culture and an environment where everyone feels very welcome and seen, and it's very collaborative. It's been a joy to kind of build that. I think we really kind of lean into the fact, because we are putting a play within a play, and having the prison and the small constrained space there constantly across the show, I think helps us, with telling the story. We work through the scenes and work through that. We've got enough room to do our physical bits and here and there. Now, granted, we have to take a little bit license of where the windmills are and things there. But that's fun. And that's a part of the fun of the creative process. Like, okay, how do you convey to the audience that Don Quixote is attacking a windmill and getting his butt kicked? Without any windmill, without anything there, just through the faces and the actions of the actors. So,
and we can't forget the world's greatest wingman, Will Wisenhunt, for you on stage, but playing the role of Sancho Panza. Or, you know, there's comedic timing, there's seriousness, it adds comedy, it adds, you know, seriousness. It's kind of like that narrator without a narrator is that role that Sancho, Sancho Panza plays. How enjoyable is that? Because the highlights is the trio, you know, or the center of this universe. But the ensemble is so important, the governor and so many of the character actors there. But what's that like to have literally a partner in crime like Will for this?
Yeah. It's wonderful. Will and I are having a blast. We're having a really good time. It's funny. I first saw Will on stage when he was part of the Slock Youth production of Shrek, which my middle son, who's now 20 years old, was in as a child. So that was my first exposure. And that's also, I also want to shout out that, so now that I've done a show with Will Wizenhut, I now have a direct line to Captain America. So, because Will Wizenhut was in a show with Gabby Pozzolo, right? So, and Gabby Pozzolo from Stranger Things with Winona Ryder with Michael Keaton in Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton with Tom Holland in Spider-Man, Tom Holland with Chris Evans, Captain America. So, you know, but Will and I are having a great time. Will is a tremendous actor, a lot of energy. We play off each other, I think, very well. I've been enjoying that. He brings... he's a great physical comedian as well. The musical numbers that he performs throughout the show are a joy to watch, and a couple of them I get to watch from off stage. And he has such a presence to him that I can't say enough about Will.
So again, you open March 13th, and it'll be 13th and 14th at 8 p.m. Sunday show the 15th at 3. And then you come back the 19th, 20th, 21st at 8 p.m. And then 22nd, you close out 3 p.m. on that Sunday. Slocktheater.org for tickets. Look at the website. Look at your seats, things like that. It's always worthwhile. A huge fan. And just through the experience of the 100th preview show, my wife has now become a volunteer, thanks to Maureen Neufeld at DSIC. Thanks, Maureen, for that.
Always need volunteers.
And, you know, two theater kids, and I'm like, that didn't take long. So Maureen's had a key role there on the board, and now Rita will be there in a volunteer role. Talked about as a kid, you know, Stanford, you know, Uniontown. I'm a Section 4 kid, Johnson City born.
Standing.
Right. Wife's a UE grad. I don't hold it against her. I graduated from Hancock, New York.
Okay, all right.
So
they ran track against
Hancock. The Deposit gang and things like that.
Playoff game. I remember basketball playoff game.
Yeah.
Against Deposit.
Yep. Yeah. So we were there. What was your – do you remember your first role in high school? Do you remember that first foray?
Yeah, it's funny. It was probably in fifth grade, and it was one of those – elementary school productions. It was called Wheels, and in it I had to ride on a stationary bike, and I like just rode like an absolute maniac, and the audience was just cracking up and you know, and howling. And that's just the core memory of like, oh wow, what joy you can bring to others and get in a reaction like that. But so that I would say would be my first one. I was able to do, you know, I played Little Abner. That was also another highlight of Stanford High School theater. It was a lot of fun. And Cinderella, I think, was the other musical that I did there. But it was always a joy, you know, performing in a high school gym, one of those old Section 4, you know. My graduating class was 25 people, so, you know, we only had less than 100 in the high school. So it was just the old gym there with the proscenium and the folding chairs all put out there. The acoustics were awful. You know, there was no body mics those days. And you just, you know, went there and had a good time. And of course, it was all family. So they were very supportive of it.
Favorite role to date?
Favorite role to date?
Besides Don Quixote.
Yes, besides Don Quixote. I did a production of Baby with Schenectady Light Opera, and I played the role of Nick Sakarian, and that was probably one of my favorite roles that I was able to play. It was about the show Baby was about three families that were all in the portion of having a baby. There was a young family that got pregnant. They were in college. I was a middle couple that was trying to get pregnant but could not. And then there was an older couple that had their kids already grown and were pregnant. I just really enjoyed that role. It was just very personal to me because I was a dad at the time, and that whole show was about being a dad and the struggles of parenthood. And I had a very great scene partner in Amanda Wilsey at the time that was very enjoyable. So I'd say that was probably one of my favorite roles. other roles at Schenectady Light Opera that were very enjoyable was playing Sweeney Todd in that role. Playing Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls was also a dream role. And then probably the French Taunter in Spamalot was a lot of fun.
What's on the bucket list? Is Lear have to be on everybody's bucket list? Or, you know, you're still climbing the mountain.
I'm starting to peak there, Stan.
I know they're trying to typecast you now.
I know. Yeah. It's just the old character actors that are coming in there that are available. There are a few bucket list roles still available, mainly for some of the recent shows that have come up. I am a huge fan of Come From Away. I love that show. 12 character actors, so I cannot wait for a production of that to come into the Capital Region. I would love to do several roles in that. I'm a big fan of Finding Neverland is a musical that I saw on Broadway, and the Kelsey Grammer role there is definitely on the bucket list. Jagged Little Pill, the dad in Jagged Little Pill's on my bucket list. The dad in Dear Evan Hansen's on my bucket list. You know, they're all the dads and the old guys right now. So, and then Waitress is also another musical I'm looking forward to. I would love to play the role of Oki before I'm too old and have to just play old Joe.
The family you've got, how many? You said,
yeah. So my wife Kate and I have been married for 26 years. We have three boys. My oldest is going to be graduating from SUNY Geneseo in May. He's a musical theater and political science major. My middle son is a sophomore at Worcester Polytech Institute. He's studying biomedical engineering. And then my youngest, Alex, is a high school senior. He is awaiting. To hear from colleges. He plans to go on a military scholarship, either on Navy or Air Force. He has it narrowed down between, he's waiting to hear from the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business. That's his dream school. He'll find out at the end of the month if he gets in there. He did get into University of Texas, which is also on that list. So he'll end up there. So we're my wife and I will be empty nesting it as of this summer. It's surreal.
And then for the boys, have they followed into dad's footsteps, or do they just kind of my life with my co-host just rolling her eyes and going, okay, whatever, you know, do you get an okay dad, or is it the bug bit?
Yeah.
I think you're oldest.
So the bug is totally bit my oldest. So yeah, he went into Geneseo as a political science major, undeclared, going to go political science, but then like, I got to do it, dad. And I'm like, hey, yeah, go ahead. Pursue your dreams. One of my favorite moments was I got to do a community show, Nice Work If You Can Get It, at Not So Common Theater in Clifton Park with my son on stage. It was a joy to do. But yeah, he loves theater, continues to do it. My middle son, who's in the engineering, doesn't do a lot of theater now, but he's highly talented. When he was younger, he used to do improv and a lot of shows. I always encourage him, hope that he gets back into it. But yeah, my oldest has the bug. My youngest, he'll watch dad and be like, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, dad, you were good. Let's go eat.
That's fine, man. Yeah, exactly. I didn't fall asleep, dad. It was all right.
And when we talk about, roles and things like this, how long does it take? Because you look at the amount of dialogue, and this is Sorkin before Sorkin. I mean, it wasn't walk and talk, right. But it's heavy dialogue in your role throughout. Both in voice and song.
Right.
How do you do it? I mean, it's.
Yeah. I mean, the older I get, the challenge it can be to kind of remember lines. Fortunately for this time slot for Schenectady Light Opera, they cast before the Christmas holiday. So I had a couple weeks, we got 2 weeks off there where I could just kind of study and memorize. But it has been something that it's probably, I go through all of my lines every single morning, and I've been doing that probably for the past, 3 months, just memorized. But it is a lot of dialogue, and particularly with this show, there's a lot of, dost thou, my lady, on thy knees to me, some English that's not typically spoken today. So it makes it more challenging to memorize those words.
When you're not on stage, when you're not at work, you know, creating things, you know, for us and the world, et cetera. Are you doing anything else?
My life has pretty much, you know, work and my family. Theater has been my main side hustle. I am big into sports there. I know you're a sports guy. So I do have a bunch of us old guys that do some pickup basketball on Sunday evenings. Now, over the last several years, when my kids were in school, and I know my son is a senior, so there's always been activities that they've been involved in. So that's always been a huge part of what I did. We just finished my son's senior basketball season. You know, just ended a couple of weeks ago, and now he's going to be moving into track. So there'll be some track meets. My son's also in mock trial, so attending some mock trial activities as well. So between family, some pickup basketball and theater, that fills my plate.
And where is Katie in this? Is she number one fan, or is she also on stage? Or
now, Stan, I have to correct you, or okay. I will get in trouble.
Okay.
It goes by Kate.
Kate.
Okay. All right.
Kate, the proper.
That's
okay.
Right.
She is a woman now,
right.
So it's Kate. Okay. Kate. You know, what's kind of been, you know, with theater, was that your hook? You're like, you know, Mr. Debonair, and she's like, oh, well, you walk with a spring in your step, and you're well-spoken, and you can... You sang to her on the first date, and that was kismet.
Yeah, I don't know if that's why there. I did, when we were courting, I did bust out the guitar and sing to her and stuff like that. And she does ask, why do you not play the guitar for me anymore? But she's always been a fan of theater, loves to do theater. She is an active volunteer with Slock as an usher. She helps out with the auditions and the well. She did go on stage earlier in her life, but she prefers to not be on the stage. This show is she likes this show because she is a huge fan of Linda Etter, and Linda Etter does a fantastic version of Man of La Mancha that we, you know, listen to. It's on our CD for our wedding CD that we love it so much. So it's nice to be able to sing a song that Linda Etter does really, really well.
All right, we are going to get you out of here on the toughest question. I said there's only one hard question. It's the last question.
All right.
And I always preface this as the hardest question.
Okay.
But it's one of my favorite questions for all my interviews. And it's very simple. What's next?
Oh, what? I'll tell you what. I mean, and since I met you at the 100th anniversary of Schenectady Light Opera, Something Rotten is a show that has been is a great show, and there are several roles in that show that I would love to get the opportunity if Molly and James, if they're listening, will consider me. So,
and we saw them perform
during
that, and Something Rotten, and my wife's in the audience, and like she's giving me the elbow. She goes, "Oh, you're gonna love this. We gotta go to this." This is before she volunteered, because like an hour later she became a volunteer, so I knew we were going. But she talked about the play and just, like you said, the piece that they did was so fitting for, you've got 26 years in the clink, I've got 36. So she said Something Rotten is just, you know, just
that's
something.
That's a show that actors really enjoy and theater people really enjoy, because they do a lot of references and pokes and homages to various shows that are appreciated. So,
and just referencing, like looking at the next show, we talked about the mystery of Edwin Drood and Cameron Clark Stevens, and we saw him. He did perform a piece from Hunchback of Notre Dame, which will be part of the 100th. And talked to him, and I said, "What's going on?" Because I know he'll be at Latham Common. What's a theater in Latham?
Oh, Curtain Call Theater.
Curtain Call Theater.
Yeah.
He has a role there coming up, and I said, "What's going to happen after Curtain Call?" And he goes, I'm going to take time off. His voice, and it was funny because, you know, Edwin Drood was that key role, and he's belting.
Yeah.
So you could understand where that voice needs rest and time to recover and things like that. So would this time out for you that the end of Man of La Mancha, that Something Rotten would be the perfect time for you to get some rest and relaxation? Because you're going to shout during track.
Yeah.
You know, faster, run, get on, you know, tip of the bat.
I mean, Yeah, I am not a spring chicken anymore. So yeah, more than one show in a single year would be a lot. So it is a demand on the family and things like that. So yeah, that would be good timing. Now, fortunately, Man of La Mancha vocally is right in the middle of my range, which that's always wonderful when you can do that. Normally, there's always two or three notes. You're like, oh God, I hope this works out tonight. Fortunately, this one sits very well in my range, so I appreciate that. But yeah, usually one show a year is usually my cadence when I'm doing theater. And you know, as I said before, now that my going into the empty nest years, it gives a little more bandwidth to consider things.
All right. And we talked about where you've had roles throughout the Capital District. When you came back to the Capital District as an actor, and this is just a one-off of the we will get you out of here in this one.
Sure.
Are you surprised the amount of opportunities there are for community actors in the Capital Region? And do you wish there was more or, you know?
Yeah, I've been very pleased, and you know, I said before, like, yeah, I scratched the itch, but it has always been—it's been a wonderful experience. The people that I get to work with, I find very talented, very nice, very welcoming, and it meets the you know why I did it professionally. I still get that same feeling doing it, you know, in the community there. But yeah, I think there are several strong community theater companies in the area, definitely more than I could support in my lifetime. Yes, Schenectady Light Opera has always been near and dear to my heart because it was the first community theater in the Capital Region that I performed with. But yeah, the Homemade Theater, Not So Common Players. I haven't done anything with Curtain Call before. I've been sticking to the musicals, but as I get older, I'm sure I'll be looking probably to expand to some of the more dramatic and the plays to do it as well.
All right, so we have seven opportunities.
Seven, that's right.
To see you and the cast.
That's right.
Of Man of La Mancha. It begins March 13th, opening night. Always a fun night. I've heard there's champagne afterwards.
There is opening. Champagne afterwards, yeah.
So I think that's why Rita, she goes, I think I like the 13th. I think that's going to work. So I'll make sure, and basketball will be done. So right. It might lean into that. The 13th, 14th at 8 p.m., the 15th, the Sunday show, matinee at 3 p.m., and then you come back, you get a little bit of rest.
A little bit of rest.
And then come back for the 19th, 20th. 21st, and then close out the 22nd at 3 p.m., where the curtain falls and the voice gets a rest until you start auditions for Something Rotten, which I would love to see you in and go, I know that guy. I had Michael's on the podcast. So, Michael Bellotti, thank you so much for taking the time. And again, I hijacked you. I think your wife was trying to get you out of the event because you both had to work probably, and I'm like running up to you, like throwing my card at you. Going, you don't know who I am.
Don't worry, I vetted you, Stan. Okay. So yeah, I ran you by the producer, and you know, Johnny Maglino said, yeah, Stan's okay.
Okay. All right. So thank you. Thank you. It's you know, Rita's 50-50 on a reference. It all depends on what you get her, what it is, and then she'll do that for me. But she is my Sancho.
Okay.
In life and
Life is not. You need a Sancho.
We all do.
Yeah, we all need Sancho.
We all do. If we change roles, that's okay too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I like that. I like that parallel. Yeah. Sometimes you are Quixote. Sometimes you are Sancho in a marriage over the years, and you that does evolve. And yeah, I can think of many of examples when I've
You're like, oh yeah.
I needed Sancho and many when I needed Quixote.
Yep. Well, keep that in your pocket. You're gonna
I learned something.
You know what, Kate?
I appreciate it.
I just want you to know this. You know, that nice quiet moment with a glass of wine. I go, I just want to let you know you are my Sancho and I am yours. And just melt. We miss Valentine's Day. We got the anniversary coming up or her birthday and
I love it.
I'm here for you.
You should have it. You should add a fourth podcast.
I've got time.
Right? Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love Line. We do Love Line with Rita. It'd be the shortest lived podcast ever because she would say, no, you're lying. Or she would correct me and say, no, this is how it really is. But again, that's why, you know, we are both to each other. So I can't wait for the opener, and can't wait. Get your tickets. It will sell out. Slock will sell out. It's a great club style venue. Like I said, 200 some odd seats. They're right there in front of you. And these could be people you work with or you've met or you've seen. And you're like, are you serious?
No bad seats.
And then when you see the talent, you just leave amazed.
Yeah.
And stealing a line from Alan Alda, you know, I can carry water, I can't carry a tune. So I am totally appreciative. And then having friends and family that are theater, quote unquote, theater kids, and seeing the young talent coming up at the High School Musical Theater Award season as we are in, and then seeing them as they come on, and then the youth program that they talked about, I'm like all in.
And there are youth program folks in Man of La Mancha. It's really, you know, folks that I have been watching since my kids were in elementary school, and so it's a joy to be with them on stage now.
All right. Get your tickets, slocktheater.org, opening night next Friday.
That's right. Dream that impossible dream.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan.